Hey, Prepper Recon fans, welcome to another edition of the PrepperRecon.com podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the globe so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it. Today's guest is Josh Collier from BeatTheEnd.com. Josh, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. We had a good time last time you were on, so hopefully we can do this economic update once a month. It'd be great. We're going to call it Prepper Econ. It's sort of a little play on words from Prepper Recon. It's a monthly economics update.
Sounds good.
And you just had an article recently on BeatTheEnd.com about, you said, how long can you go without spending any money? Tell us a little bit about that article.
It was actually a guest blog post from a friend, and he had basically said to do a little experiment. The challenge was to go 1 day without spending money. Not too hard. Most people could do that. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Then it was 1 week and 1 month, and he was basically giving some ways that you can go 1 month without spending money. You will be spending money previous, paying your bills, getting your bills paid. Some other things are for gasoline. You might want to do a prepaid card or even ride your bike to work. And basically live on what food you have stored up. It's a good thing to try to see if you can actually do it in, before a Teotihuacan type situation happens.
Sure.
I mean, you would have, at that point you'd have, no gasoline, so it might be a little bit different, but you're still gonna save some money. You probably save quite a bit of money doing something like that. Just because you're limited and you're stuck by the amount of gasoline you have in your car, you're more watchful of, how you're using your food, how you're using your vehicle, quite a few different things that can save you a lot of money just by being more mindful of how you're spending money and things you really don't need to spend money on.
Yeah, it would help you train you to plan ahead.
Right.
And I guess ever how long you can go without spending money, buying groceries or soap or toothpaste or whatever, that's also the amount of time that you could make it in a Teotihuacan situation without systems of support.
Right. Right. Having all that stuff there when you need it is definitely important, not having to go to the store to buy it. And I know in an actual Teotihuacan situation, you're probably going to be able to live longer just because you're in more of a in that prepper mentality at that point that you have to do anything you can do to live and survive.
Sure, sure. And then also I guess you're buying a lot of things in bulk or buying before you actually need things, and then that gives you a little leeway to where now you can wait before you repurchase another tube of toothpaste or a box of cereal until you see it come on sale, or you can get coupons or maybe both.
Right, that's definitely important, is saving the money and having the stuff there so you don't have to buy it at that point in time. You can wait till there's a sale, or you can wait till Sam's Club or Costco has a good deal on it.
Yeah, that's good discipline. So Friday's jobs numbers were really positive. I think we added 165,000 new jobs in April. That brought the BLS sugar-coated U3 unemployment number down to 7.5% from 7.6%.
Right, it looks like it's going down a little bit. We'll have to see how that actually comes up.
Yeah.
They did adjusted some numbers from February and March. They adjusted those up a little bit, so it does look a little better.
Yeah, how that sugarcoat them a little more, huh?
yeah, definitely.
Of course, even the government's own U6 unemployment number, which they don't report, but that's the number that would include everybody that's completely quit looking for work and the people that are working part-time, but they can't find full-time employment, so they just settled for 20 hours a week at McDonald's. So if you add all those people in, the government's U6 number is 13.9%, which
yeah, that's
not quite
high.
So rosy.
No, that's extremely high.
No.
Yeah, and like you said, it's hard to gauge that unemployment with how they calculate the unemployment. You can calculate numbers to make it look how you want it.
Yeah, they say there's lies and statistics, right?
Right, exactly.
So they can you spin what you count what you want to count to make it look how you want it to look.
Yeah, and then if you look at unemployment, then they don't really count in people who have been kicked off unemployment. So
yeah.
If they've kicked off unemployment, can still look better for the government. The numbers can.
Yeah, I think 9.5 million people have completely given up looking that aren't included in that U3 number anymore just right. Since Obama took office.
And I personally don't know how that works, how you can just give up looking. I don't know what you do at that point. I guess get on government programs.
Yeah, that's what you do. You vote Democrat. That's what you do. You get the stamps, you get the phone, the housing, you have a couple of, four or five kids and get that $3,000 per child earned income credit, and you can make a job out of it.
Yeah, there's some in that number that are also working side jobs, working whatever they do.
Sure, yeah.
That's not being taxed, so it's hard to actually.
Yes.
No real numbers on this stuff, so.
Yeah. And then if you don't believe the government numbers, John Williams over at ShadowStats.com keeps an alternate set of economic data. His unemployment figures suggest a number closer to 23%.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah. We were talking before the show, you said you'd seen an article about what types of jobs were probably in that 165,000
right.
New jobs.
Pulling up here. It looks like the strongest job growth in April, from this article I found was, restaurants and bars. And that, is something that can be seasonal at times too. And it's also service. So it's service jobs. We're still not making anything.
No.
Which actually hurts the trade deficit. We're not exporting anything because we aren't making anything.
Right. And a lot of those jobs are going to go away in October too because Obamacare kicks in and,
Right.
Any business that has 50 or more full-time employees is going to have to purchase insurance for those employees. So what a lot of them will do is if they're close to that 50 employee threshold, let's say you've got 60 employees, you might lay off 11, so you can get down to 49 and just make it with the 11, and you don't have to buy insurance. Or if you've got thousands of employees, what you might do is cut everybody's hours to below 30 so they're not full-time, so you don't have to buy the insurance.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens when that actually comes full force, see what happens to the numbers,
yeah.
The employment numbers and everything, and see what impact it makes, because even I was talking to an insurance agent who sells health insurance and life insurance, but he was talking about how it's going to affect, and he's like, I still don't know exactly how it's going to affect, and it's coming in in the next few months, so
yeah.
He was worried about how it was affecting everything and didn't even know exactly how it was going to affect everything, and he's one that was right up on it because that's what he sells, the insurance.
Yeah, well, I guess if a lot of people get laid off and get their hours cut by 25%, that's not going to be good for the economy. They're not going to be spending money, are they? They're not going to be buying cars and houses and furniture and clothes.
Right, it would slow down the economy, and then what I'm assuming would happen just because of Obama and who we have in there is that they just open it up to more government help.
Yeah. Bigger, they can take a bigger role and bail us out, right? Bail us in, whatever they do now.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
and then I guess a lot of the premiums are going to be going up by as much as 100% as well.
Right. I've even heard higher, but But yeah, and it's, from what I've heard is the younger people are going to be paying more, the highest increases. And the reason being is that, now you don't have, you don't have to, you can have a disease and get right on insurance. So,
yeah.
So that's going to pull a lot of people in. They have to charge more to recoup that money.
Yeah.
So they will probably be most likely charging the younger people as they can't charge, from the highest person paying to the lowest person paying, there's a certain amount that they can charge.
Oh, really?
So what will happen is that highest to lowest, where it is now, will just shift upwards.
There's a cap on the deviation.
Right. That's what I would think would happen, at least, just mathematically. It would go up a lot higher if that whole deviation would just increase.
Wow.
And the actual, the older people with, that didn't have health insurance before, it's going to be expensive, but it will be cheaper than going to the hospital, I'm assuming. So it may actually help them a little bit, but everybody's going to be paying for it in the end. So if that actually was a drain on the economy, then it could hurt everyone.
Yeah.
Likely too.
And then last Wednesday, the Fed announced that they'll continue their current QE program. So I guess that'll keep some money sloshing around in somebody's pocket. I don't know. I don't ever see it getting
right
on my doorstep. But so somebody's getting it, right?
Yep.
In their current program, they're purchasing $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities and $45 billion in new treasury purchases every month. So that's a total of $1.02 trillion a year. So that's a 10% annual increase in the money supply. Our current M2 money supply is $10 trillion. So that's, according to the Austrians, that is inflation. And the price increase that they've convinced us is what is inflation now is just a natural response to that inflated supply of money.
Right.
So it's coming sooner or later.
And then, like before I was saying with the trade deficit, $43 billion, we're not making enough. We don't have enough jobs coming in for manufacturing. Taxes increases, that they want to put in the budget, will actually hurt jobs, and will actually probably have some companies trying to ship jobs overseas as happens when
I bet a lot of people will try to do that to get out of buying the Obamacare for their employees. If you can outsource maybe 3 or 4 people to just get a call center in India, and that'll be the 3 or 4 people that you need to get under that 50-person threshold to get away from buying Obamacare for your employees, that might be another reason that we outsource more jobs.
Yeah, and I don't know if they have said if stuff like that would increase the amount of employees you have, if that's counted in the 50 employees.
No, it wouldn't be counted, because then you would be purchasing a service from another
company. You're not actually employing the people. M99 type thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course, Esther George of the Kansas City Fed, last week when they were having their FOMC meeting, she's the only one of the board members that's willing to say, we're gonna get inflation, we've gotta stop the QE now, because inflation is gonna get out of control. And, nobody else on the board listens to her. Either that, or they already know it, and they just don't care because they don't want to be the ones at the helm when the ship goes down. They figure if they can kick the can down the road for another 4 or 5 years and retire, then at least the blood won't be on their hands. Or so they think.
Well, that seems like that happens a lot with politicians, just in putting off the budget and different things. They can keep pushing it.
Yeah. But with all this money printing and the sugar-coated jobs number, the bad reporting of the economic data, the Dow hit an all-time high on Friday. It went past 15,000. I guess happy days are here again. I can sell all my beans and band-aids and bullets and go, buy a new car and, maybe a McMansion that I can't afford the payments for.
Right. Yeah.
That, you know, you were telling me something about, you saw an article about some of the whales that, were dumping stocks right now though.
Right. Even though it looks so good, I'm assuming if some of the biggest players in the stock market are dumping their stuff, that's meaning that they're not having such a great outlook on it. Some of the big ones I see here were Warren Buffett. Most everybody knows him from Berkshire Hathaway.
Sure.
Looks like he sold roughly 19 million shares of Johnson & Johnson, reduced his overall stake in consumer product stocks by 21%. And then George Soros, looks like he sold almost all of his bank stocks, including JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Goldman Sachs. And most of these guys, I'm not sure about Paulson, but I know Buffett and Soros are actually pretty liberal, but when it comes down to it and it's their money,
Buffett's a liberal too. He's the one that he said that his secretary paid more taxes than him.
Right, yeah.
Which is a complete lie, because what he does get has already been taxed at the corporate level,
right,
and now he's paying taxes on it again.
Yeah, he's basically being
double taxed. It's already been taxed at 35%, well now it's 39%, I think, the corporate level. It's already been taxed at 39%, and then it gets to him, and even if he only pays, 15%, now that's 55% federal, that's over half of all of his money that he's paying to taxes.
Right.
I would say if he wants to pay more, then let him pay more, but don't impose that on the rest of us to have to give away more than half of our earnings to the federal government to waste on asinine programs and to,
right,
to give and away to people that have no motivation to get off the couch and put down the joint.
Definitely. It seems like there's a lot of people who say we should raise the taxes, but if they really want to raise the taxes, there's nothing saying they can't pay more taxes if they would like to. The
government stopping them from sending an extra check.
Yeah, the government would happily take their money.
Heck yeah.
And then this article even says it's on moneynews.com. The guy who wrote this says, very likely that these professional investors are aware of specific research that points toward a massive market correction as much as 90%.
Wow.
Which a 90% drop in the stock market, even if it's just a perception drop, even if there's nothing actually happens, that could turn into a massive disaster, which could cause another depression, a huge depression compared to the last.
Yeah, that won't be good for those restaurant jobs you were talking about.
No.
Because people lose half of their portfolio, 90% of their portfolio, they don't go out to eat.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of different things we wouldn't be doing.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of things. I think they buy makeup and Apple products and go to the movies. I think that's the only three things they'll do after that kind of a hit.
Yeah, it's amazing that they still go to the movies. But.
Yeah. And get the latest iPhone. Of course, I guess the old one broke, so they have to, right? I don't know. Oh, but, and then, more bad news for the dollar, the BRICS nations, they had their annual meeting last month, and, the BRICS is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and now South Africa has joined the club, but, they announced that they're gonna be, forming a international trade bank among the nations, and I think that its purpose is going to be to settle trade between those nations without purchasing dollars, which is what they've always done before. If Brazil bought $200,000 worth of, let's say, beans from Russia or potatoes from Russia, maybe, then they would take that $200,000 worth of their currency, exchange it into dollars, pay Russia, and then Russia would take the dollars and trade it back into their currency. So I think that they're going to be stopping that, which has been part of what's propped the dollar up as being the reserve currency of the world. And when we start to lose countries using the dollar for that, it's not going to be good for the demand of the dollar, especially at the same time that we're increasing the supply by 10% annually. So, and those countries all together, you put them all together, it's about 25% of global GDP. They're roughly 15 trillion in GDP when you add them all up.
Right. Without other countries using the dollar, it can go, as we've seen, it's been, gone down a lot just in the past, 15, 20 years. And without countries using it, like you said, it's propping it up. That's what's keeping it really going. And that's why countries will still give us money, I guess, because we're one of the main currencies.
Yeah, they'll keep buying our bonds for now, but when they don't...
Right, if they have another way to do it, they're probably not going to care to.
Right, which means that we're going to have to purchase probably 100% of our own debt, which means they'll have to keep the QE going, and then I guess if that starts to get into a hyperinflationary thing where inflation's shooting, what they call inflation, the price increases... Right. When that starts to kick in, they'll have to kill it, and when they do that, then interest rates are going to go up. That's going to kill the economy, and I guess we wouldn't be able to meet the payments on our existing almost $17 trillion. Now it's 16.6 or 7, but we should be to $17 trillion within the next couple of months, so... You know, if you're paying 5 or 6% on that, then that's going to be a huge chunk of the overall revenue of the nation.
Yeah, we're very close. We may be at over 100% of actually paying just interest on stuff. We're very close to that point.
Wow.
Where we're paying interest and never actually be able to pay it back.
So, Josh, do you think that that is sustainable? Do you think that our government can keep this up?
No, I wouldn't think anybody would think that is sustainable.
I don't either. And I think it's going to be really, really bad.
Right. If it comes crumbling down, which if we keep at the pace we are, it's hard to say it won't crumble.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest things is quite a while ago when the U.S. got off the gold standard, went to a fiat currency where they could basically make and print whatever money they wanted to. That's kind of what hurt us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a huge problem where you could just print as much money as you want. You can easily, like you said, it's basically not a tax, but it is a tax. If they could print everything they want and just kind of a loophole around the tax.
Sure, and then it steals the value of when they print another dollar and they increase the money supply by 10%, then it effectively takes 10% of the value of the dollar that's in your wallet or your pocket or your bank account.
Right, it makes my dollar worth less. So I guess a good hedge to that is probably precious metals, as long as they...
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully. It looks like they kind of rebounded a little bit last week, or at least they bottomed out.
Yeah, they're coming back a little bit. It's kind of amazing. I was looking at the numbers, and precious metals are, when you look at them, they're all exactly the same, essentially. They're at different numbers, different actual values, but they do exactly the same thing. Silver has the same graph, a 3-month graph I was looking at, as gold does, as platinum does. Mm-hmm. They're just at different values. So they're all, that right there is still a perception thing as well. Even though it's probably not as bad as a stock market crash because of perception. There's still perception even in gold.
Yeah, and then when we had the big, huge price decline, a lot of people ran out and started buying silver and gold coins, and a lot of the dealers are just completely ran out for a couple of days there, and now the premiums, some of the premiums have went up by as much as 100%. I think APMEX, I think their premiums for a Silver Eagle were at $7, and where they had been at something like maybe $3.50 or about $3.50 before the metals crash, like flash crash, I guess we would call it, when it went down to gold went down to $13.30, and I think silver was $22.50,
yeah,
somewhere in that neighborhood. And everybody has delays on delivery. One of our sponsors is JM Bullion. They still have, from what I can tell and what I've seen from all the other dealers, they still have the best price over spot for silver or gold coins. And if any of our listeners want to use the coupon code P PR5 when you go to JM Bullion. That'll get you $5 off, which will cover, that's about half of your shipping cost because they only charge $10 for shipping. So they're very, very reasonable. They are on delays just like everybody else. But usually when you see a big price decline in something, you, everybody's not rushing out to buy it because it means that demand's down. And so it's a
right.
little, it's very, very disconnected. So a lot of people have speculated that it was just the paper price that.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like a perception thing. Mm-hmm. And it's semi-similar to ammunition as well.
Yeah.
Scared about what might happen.
Sure.
So it increased the demand for it, and it still hasn't come back yet.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Martinson's website, Peak Prosperity, he had a picture on there last week of a gold shop, a place selling some coins in China, and it was just, people were five deep lined up around the corner trying to get gold coins.
Wow.
It's just, it was just nuts. But China and some other countries encourage their citizens to buy silver and gold, whereas America, you would never hear something like that from the American government, but they encourage their citizens to use silver and gold to as stores of value for their money.
Well, yeah, and they're pretty decent stores of value. I mean, they have they've went up quite a bit, even with this small mm-hmm. decline. They've in the past 20 years have went up ridiculous
sure.
amount compared
yeah.
to the dollar, which has just gone down.
Yeah, and it's always been money. I think it's Genesis 13. It says Abraham was rich in cattle and silver and gold. So, I mean, that's, for all intents and purposes, that's the beginning of time. Abraham, Genesis 13. So,
right.
you don't get much earlier than that. And then the dollar in its current fiat form has really only been around since 1971, since we completely came off the fractional
right.
gold-backed system. So.
Right. Within the 30s, we semi came off of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
came off totally.
And 70s was the complete divorce. Said, okay, no more separation. This is a complete divorce.
Which, that's basically because the government thought they could do it better than...
Yeah, better than the free market. Absolutely. The central bankers, central banksters... Could do it better than the free market, but I don't know. It never seems to work out. But so all of this is a good reason to read PrepperRecon.com and BeatTheEnd.com and learn about getting prepared and what you need to do to stock up some food and security and be ready for whatever comes our way. Right.
Definitely, being prepared now is better than having to hope later.
Yep. And tell us one more time about your survival gear giveaway over at BeatTheEnd.com, Josh.
Right. We had like 10 sponsors helping us out with some prizes. We have a whole bunch of different things, survival, like 72-hour kit, first aid kit, some survival seeds, quite a bit of other stuff. Just take a look over there and enter. It's easy and you might win.
All right. Good deal, man. Well, thanks again for coming back on the show, and hopefully we can do this again next month for our Prepper Econ Economics Update.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Prepper Econ Podcast. If you're new to prepping and you want to learn more, you can check out our 7-step survival plan. It's under the category section on the left-hand side of the page. Until next time, happy prepping.